to broadcast. Aboisai, good morning. Our limud of Hilchus Chofetz Chaim, of Hilchus Lashon Hara, is as a schus for the refuah of Yosef Dov ben Chayla, Hishtav refuah Shlema Bekorov, Besoy Shal Chayli Yisrael. So yesterday we had this case of the Shala of the Ma'arik, when we're talking about Behemon Kavei Trei, whether or not you can believe somebody because he is somebody who is totally truthful. And the Shala was, the Shala was a good friend and a person who never ever in his life has told a lie, let's say his name is Reuven. So Reuven is a good guy and he never tells a lie. And he's a straight person, he's somebody you can trust implicitly, and somebody that Shimon knows very well. And he calls up Shimon, and he says to Shimon, "Now, I've got some really bad news for you, but your wife admitted to me that she had been unfaithful to you." Okay? So, and Shaila is there such a concept? I mean, there is such a concept. The Gemara speaks about Mehemon Kibet Trei. There's sometimes an Eid Echot who is totally truthful and totally trustworthy. Can be trusted. Kebei Trei, like Al Pishnai made him, Yochum Dovo. So there's a Shaila the Chofetz Chaim brings down. Chofetz Chaim brings down. And we said that this fulfills all the Tanoim of the Halacha. The person knows him very well. He knows that he's a totally straight and truthful person. The person himself is relating something that he knows firsthand, not something that he heard secondhand. And there is a Toyeles. There's a clear Toyeles. The person needs to know if his wife has been unfaithful to him or not. Chofetz Chaim brings down that Mikain Klaren, whether or not a Bezdin is going to Paskin, that the woman is also Al Pi Torah, relying on the Mehemon Kabei Trei on 1:8. But Zicha Lotze Sidei Shemaim. Right, Lot is Yidei Shemaim. His wife is no worse than a Soito. She's somebody who is at least suspected of having committed an Aveira. And if it's true, then she's a Sura Leboyel, Lebal Uleboyel. The husband wouldn't be allowed to live with her, and nor would the person with whom she had the affair be allowed to live with her. And therefore, Al Pi Halacha, he would have to be Megarisha. Even if you don't accept that it works. Of course it's important information. It's Toyeles, absolutely. That's the Toyeles. That's what we do normally. That we accept Lashon Hara. We believe Lashon Hara to the extent that I need to protect myself. And this man needs to protect himself from his unfaithful wife, if you like. The good news is, the Chofetz Chaim says, bottom line is, that maybe, says the Chofetz Chaim, I know this is undoing all the things that we learnt in the last 3 days, but the Chofetz Chaim says that at the end, listen to how difficult it is, to believe somebody Mehemon Kabei Trei. That you have to know him personally. You have to know we said we're not looking for a chosid, and we're not looking for a tzaddik, and we're not looking for a Talmud Chacham, and we're not looking for a Ben Torah. You're speaking about somebody who never told a lie in his life, who's never exaggerated in his life, who's never understated in his life. How many people, says the Chofetz Chaim, are there who fit the bill? That's what the Chofetz Chaim says. Is there anybody who's never told a lie, never told a fib, never exaggerated, never understated? He's only told exact 100% emes la'amitoi for the entire life that we know him. Yeah. So Chofetz Chaim says that lemaisa, he says, although in halacha mekein klaren, and we've done that for the last 3 days, as to whether or not it works lahalacha, in practical terms, he says Mr. Perfect doesn't exist, says the Chofetz Chaim. To Bisman Azeh, maybe Bisman Chazal, maybe such a person existed, but today you will not find anybody who you can rely on to say Mehemon Kibei Trei. And therefore, when it comes to Lashon Hara, then the usual rule applies. If you hear Lashon Hara from somebody, then if it's Latoyeles and you need to protect yourself, you can half believe that maybe it's true in order that you can take precautions, but apart from that, you're not allowed to believe that the story is true. Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Torahway, Northwest London. Thursday, Chai Kislev, the 19th of December. Rav Chaim Berman Shlita, a new look at Marisain.
Okay, good morning. So, a few scenarios regarding Marisayan, and then hopefully we'll go through a bit of the sugya and try and get some clarity in some of the gedorim in the sugya. A few of the scenarios are old, and a few are new applications, developing sugya. So, what is the halacha regarding if you go to a restaurant, and there are restaurants in London that indeed serve this, you have a go and you order a steak, and on the steak they sprinkle vegan cheese, Parmesan cheese. So, is that a issue of Marisayan? To the onlooker, it does seem that one, if you look at it without the context, you'd understand that the person looks like he's eating boss of a cholov.
If the restaurant has a good hechsher...
If the restaurant has a good hechsher, then maybe you can assume. So we'll talk about how much that could be...
How did the hechsher go in the first place?
Okay, we'll speak about that. Yeah, kosher restaurant, yeah. Next question. Now, there's a developing sugi at the moment called... cultured meat or lab-grown meat, where meat can enzymes are extracted from meat and reconstituted into new pieces of meat, and the idea is that it's a way of facilitating in on an industrial scale meat without needing additional animals. Now, in halacha, this is a developing sugya. One of the areas that this is in the forefront of production is actually in Eretz Yisrael. There's a lot of cultured meat which is being produced, and maybe for another time. We can talk about the halachas of lab-grown meat, and there are various shittas in the poskim. One of the shittas. So, what is the status of the meat which would be grown in a lab? Again, you take an enzyme from an animal and you reconstitute it under chemical conditions in a lab. What is its status? So, some say it has a status of meat. Some say it has a status of parif. Okay. Now, just.
Why should it be parif?
It comes from
meat.
Okay, that's the sugya of lab-grown meat. Okay, not getting into the sugya, it's a whole sugya. What's that? That's a discussion about whether it's healthy or not. It seems to have the same genetic properties as... But, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, on the assumption that it has the din of parva, yeah, then would that be mutter to eat it together with real cheese? There's another shayla in Marisayan. A third question, and this is really what got me into thinking about this sugya and why I wanted to discuss it with you today. More and more frequently, we are encountering situations where you go to apartment buildings or hotels, when you walk through the common areas, on Shabbos, what happens? The light goes on because of an automatic light. So this is presenting real issues. And in terms of Shabbos, one has to try and avoid any Chil Shabbos, obviously. Now, how could this potentially issue be potentially resolved if it is necessary to go in and out on Shabbos and one is not deriving any benefit whatsoever from the light? We would consider this in halacha as a psik reisha delay ichbasle. For example, there's enough light outside and the fact that it's coming on has no benefit to me, it's inconsequential, even if it's an inevitable outcome of my action. That's what's called in halacha as a psik reisha delay ichbasle. And therefore, although we generally try and be stringent lechatchila, in a situation when you can't avoid it, there will be room to be meikel. What about, however, if it's dark outside and there are no other lights? So, I heard recently from a local Rav, senior Rav, that a suggestion would be that you could turn on a torch before Yom Tov, take the torch in your hand, walk through the corridor. Why does this help? The torch is muktzah, but it's a kli, no, Shabbos, but it's a kli shemelachtei le'issa. And a kli shemelachtei le'issa is mutter to move it letzorech gufoy, if you can have a permitted purpose, right? You can take the nut, you can take the hammer to crack open the nut, even though the hammer is muktzah. So therefore, you should be able to take the torch to walk through the corridor, and therefore the light's coming on is a psikresha delay ichbasle. It's inconsequential. That was a chap. I mentioned this. What's that?
That doesn't help for Shabbos.
Why doesn't it help for Shabbos?
You said Yom Tov. I don't know, for some reason, I don't know.
Shabbos. Even Shabbos. Yeah? A place where carrying's not an issue. Okay. And then someone was Ma'ira, but what about Marisayan? Okay, so you've got around the issue of the lights coming on automatically because you've got no benefit from it. You need to get into the apartment. But what about the issue of Marisayan? Someone seeing you holding your torch.
Serious, Isra Malacha?
What's that?
Isn't Maris Ayin less serious than Isra Malacha?
That is generally going to be the case. But again, you haven't done an Isra Malacha here because you turned on the torch before Shabbos. You're taking the torch in your hand, which is mutter because there's no Isra Mukta. What's that? Mukta's not a problem because it's Tzerich Gufay. You require the it's like taking the hammer to crack open the nut. Okay.
By the hammer, are you worried about Maris Ayin? Somebody will see you holding a hammer on Shabbos.
And they say, what's he going to do?
And they say, what's he going to do? It's going to knock in the net.
Yeah, okay.
You should have the same problem.
But here, when you're holding the torch is worse, because the torch, how did you get this? By picking up the hammer, you haven't done any Issa necessarily. By picking up the torch, you've got a torch which is on.
No, if it's mutter to move the Kedish from Lapel Issa, then I'm doing nothing wrong. He's ignorant.
He doesn't know.
So he suspects me of doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like somebody suspects me of using the hammer to put in the nail shots. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll see under what circumstances. These are some kind of more contemporary versions of this question, but over the past 50 years and even before, the question is visited in various areas. And in Yotz Hashem, I'll try and cover it. The question was discussed by the Cheshev Eifed regarding having margarine, smearing margarine on your bread, and then having meat, putting meat on the bread. To the onlooker, it looks like you're having meat with butter. Pariv schnitzel with cheese. Rav Moshe discusses about Scheitlach and shaving by using a misparaim, scissors, or using a cream. To the onlooker, it might look like you are shaving with a razor. Going to restaurants, someone mentioned it already. If you're going to a non-kosher restaurant for a business meeting, Issa Maris Ayin, is it an Issa Maris Ayin? And another question where this is discussed is regarding drinking soya milk or putting soya in your coffee after a meaty meal. So these are the various shailas and various scenarios. Let's speak a little bit about the sugya and then see where we can get to in terms of answering them. Now, the first question is when we speak about Maris Ayin, the Issa of Maris Ayin is mentioned in the Mishnah. Does it help if one ensures that no one can see them? So you do it privately. Does that deal with the question of Maris Ayin? There's no Riyasa Ayin. So this is the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara says, Om Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Kol Mokim She'osru Achomim Ipnei Maris Ayin, wherever Chazal said that there was an Issa because of Maris Ayin, people are going to see you. Afilu Ba Chadrei Chadorim is Osir. Even if you do it in the chambers of your house, the closed chambers of your house, and there's no one who's watching you, it remains prohibited. Tanan. And we see that there's a Mishnah. V'loy bezug, FLP, shu popuk. An animal, a donkey, is not allowed to go out to the street with a bell, even though it's had the ringer inside has been removed. V'tanya, and we have a brisa that says, poikik lazug b'tzavara, u'metayel ima b'chotze, that the donkey can go out to the one's own courtyard as long as you've removed the ringer. So we see that there seems to be a steer in brisas, whether we're choshesh for a donkey to go out to a private chotze if you've removed the ringer. What's the problem if a donkey goes out with a ringer? It looks like you're taking it to the marketplace, the Gemara and Rashi explains. There's a certain marasayin for the donkey to go out with the bell. If you remove the ringer, then if it goes into the chotzer in a private place, according to the brisa, it is permitted. What's that? Rishus Rabbim is going to be. But even if it's even not, there's a issa of Maris Ayin because it looks like you're going to sell in the marketplace. And the Gemara answers that it's tanoi, it's a machlokes tanoim, the Tanya. Mi shenoshru begodov b'mayim, someone whose kelim got wet with water. They were walking outside on Shabbos and they got soaked. What they want to do when they get home? Take off their coat, take off their jacket, and hang it up. Shoitchem b'chama, they can put it in the sun to dry out. Aval lo keneged ha'om, but not in front of anyone else. It can only be done privately, not publicly. What's the problem if you do it in a public place? People will think that you laundered your garments and that now you're hanging it up to dry. And so therefore, it's not permitted in public. Rebbe Yezer, Rebbe Shimon, Oisin. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, forbid it even in a private place. The Gemara understands from here, from the fact that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon forbid you to hang up your garments and became wet in a private place, that they indeed hold, like Rabbi Yehuda and Rav, that any place that Chazal said that Marasayin is an issue, it's an issue to do it even privately. The Tanakama, however, holds that it is permitted. So it's a machlokes tanoim. Whether, whenever Marasayin is prohibited, can it be permitted when done privately, what's called by the Gemara as Chadrei Chadorim. Most Rishonim, and
what's the reason why it should be also the Chadrei Chadorim?
Oh, so
nobody's seeing. The whole problem is Maris.
Good. So some Rishonim say, you never know. It could be that people are going to see, like a low pluck. The Psak Lahalocha is that even b'chadrei chadorim, Marasayin is Asa, and the various rais in the Rishonim that we'll see soon. Although Rav Nissim Gaon, one of the Goinim, did indeed paskin the b'chadrei chadorim, when done privately, it would be mutter. Now, with all that said, I should just caveat that Rabbi Kiva Eger, bringing from Tosis, says that that's all when one does something which is visible but private. So you're eating, let's say, to eat the cheeseburger is a problem of Marasayin, Loniach. But you close the curtains and you do it in the confines of your home and no one's watching. So if you hold, which we indeed paskin, that whatever is prohibited because of Marasayin, it's forbidden also in private, then this too would be prohibited. But something that no one can see is not a problem of Marasayin. For example, the Gemara discusses a case where a person walks into the Rishus HaRabim, the person is a Chayla, holding a kamiya, which is not a problem of tiltal in that scenario, because it's refuah and it's like a tachshit, Rashi explains. Tosis asks, why is it not a problem of Marasayin? And he answers that since your koimetz it, since he's holding it in his hand, it's completely concealed within his hand, there's no Marasayin whatsoever because no one can see it. Rabbi Kiva Eger, based on this, in Shulchan Aruch and Yerideya, says that if you have someone who's wearing a garment which is a chashash marasayin of shatnas, because people don't realize, for example, we'll speak about this in a minute, that you have a garment which is made of hemp, which looks similar to linen, and people think that you're wearing linen, and also in that garment is elements of wool. So people who are watching this think that this person is wearing shatnas. But if that garment is not visible, it's an undergarment, it's a vest that people can't see. So even if you hold Chadrei Chadorim is Asa, but something which is totally invisible to the onlooker is Mutter. Now, what happens if, when a person is doing something which is prohibited because of Marasayin, it is evident to the onlooker that there is a different reason for doing so? The Rishonim ask a question from the sugi of Marasayin and Chadrei Chadorim. Because the Gemara says in Chulin the following. The Mishnah says that a person should not shecht into the sea. Because there's a marisayin, that this is what the goyim used to do. They would shecht their animals into the sea as a hakrova to the god of the sea. And similarly, one shouldn't shecht into a pit, into a ditch. Because that's also something that they would do. And even putting aside the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, shouldn't shecht into this ditch. Because it's a marasayin that a person's doing it, the shame of Avodah Zarah. However, the Mishnah says, if you're in, and explained by the Gemara, if you're in your courtyard, and by the ditch, you make another ditch that is going to channel the blood away, then it is permitted. Because anyone who's watching this will understand that the reason why you are shechting this, why you are shechting it into the ditch, is not because you're doing it for Avodah Zarah, rather you just want to shecht and then channel and clean the blood away from that area. Tosfos and other Rishonim ask, but surely whatever is prohibited because of Marasayin is also prohibited when you do it in a private place. Why is this any different? And he brings from here a raya, that since it's done in a manner where people can see that there's an ulterior motive, no one is going to assume that it's done because of Avodah Zarah, so the issue of Marasayin is not present because there's a different reason that we can ascribe that the person is doing it for, then it's going to be permitted. Lashon of Tosis, can haroya sha'osa b'beis, a person who's doing it in their home, omer lenakeh chatzeiroi hu osa. The reason he's doing it is to clean his chotzer. Now that svar would not apply in the Rishus HaRabin because people don't normally spend their time cleaning the Rishus HaRabin. So this is something where b'chadrei chadorim it is permitted because of the context. Now, what about when times change? So something which originally seemed to people to be asa, but today no longer seems so. The Mishnah in Kalayim writes that one should not make garments out of both silk and wool. There's a cheshash because of marasayin. The Mishnah says, "Akalach ein bahem mishum kalayim." Silk and wool are not a problem of kilayim because it's only pishton and semer. Linen and wool. Aval asur mipnei marasayin, but one should not make their garments out of wool and silk because of marasayin. People are not so familiar with silk. Its silk in its properties apparently looks very similar to linen, and people are going to think that you're wearing shatnez and therefore don't do it. The Rosh, however, says, Ha'idna, today, we're very accustomed to silk. We see it all the time. Mutsuyin bigdei meshi beineinu. We have silk around with us. Va'kol makirin boy, and everyone is familiar with it. Hilkach muta, and therefore it is permitted. So the Rosh says, even though Chazal said specifically that this is forbidden, today, when the marasayin no longer exists because we're familiar with it, it is permitted. And that's Gepaskin in Shulchan Aruch in Yoridei Siman Reish Tzadi Ches. On the contrary, he's machmir. In a case of, like I mentioned before with Rabbi Kiva Eger, you have a garment which is made of hemp and wool. This is something that Chazal never discussed. Hemp looks at canvas, looks something like linen. And he says that today, people think get mixed up between linen and wool. So when I was a Rav in Germany, says the Rosh, I said that this is forbidden for people to wear because they didn't have linen with, they didn't have a lot of hemp and they weren't familiar with it and they used to get mixed up between linen and hemp. And however, in my new locale, he moved afterwards, I believe it was to Spain, then it is permitted because they are familiar with it. So we see that the Rosh took the idea of marasayin very according to the understanding of the people who were looking at it at the time. And that is Kepaskin and Shulchan Aruch in both ways. That silk is permitted because it is commonly found amongst us, and akol makirin boy, everyone can see that it's silk. Now there's a side question here about what happened if you have a chazal make a gezerah on something. The Gemara in Beitza says that you can't be dovah she'asru b'minyan, anything that chazal said, made a gezerah, that is forbidden, you can't just be matter it if the reason drops away. Tzorech minyan atel la'atiroi. You need another kibbutz of chachomim, the same number of, and the same level of chokhmah as the gathering that asked it, to permit it once again. So how too can the case of silk and wool become permitted just because people no longer make the distinction? It was also that marasayin was an issa that was enacted by Chazal in this case. This is a question which is asked by the Teferis Yisrael on the Mishnah in Kilayim and also the Pischei Tshuva. And they both answer according to two answers. One is coming from the Taz regarding dancing. The Gemara in Beitza says one is not allowed to dance on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Tosis asks, the Gemara says, but we don't protest when people do because mutav shiu shogegin value mezidim. They're going to do it anyway, so rather they should do it b'shogeg and not do it b'mezid if we inform them. Tosas says that today there's a difference for it because today we are no longer. What's the issa of dancing on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Maybe you're shema you sacking cliche. Maybe you're going to come to make an instrument. Says Tosas, today we're not so practical in that way. It's very unlikely that a person is going to come to fashion a cliché because we don't know. They knew how to do it. They did this kind of thing all the time, apparently. We don't know how. We won't do it. It's not shkiach, and therefore there's no gezerah. And that is gepaskin by the Ramah in Erechaim Shin Lamed Tes, that the Yeshomrim, that today it is not necessary to be machmir not to dance because it's not shkiach, it's not likely that a person is going to fashion a cliché. Accordingly, explains the Tiferet Sisal, this is one reason why we could say that there is no, the gezeira of marasayin by silk no longer applies, because since we have silk very commonly amongst us, it's very unlikely that a person is going to make that mistake today. And something which is unlikely, the gezeira no longer stands. The Mogen Avraham gives a different teretz. The Tiferet Sisal, according to the Mogen Avraham, gives a different teretz. Not getting into the details of it now, but the answer is that when Chazal gave a specific and reason, explanation why something is prohibited, one specific explanation, we know with confidence why they said something was prohibited, then if that reason falls away, then we can be maker. So if Chazal said that silk and wool is prohibited because of marasayin, then when the marasayin element drops away because of changing social norms, then we can be lenient. Other areas like Beitz Shinol de Beyomtev, there's a machlekes in the Gemara in the first few amudim of Meseches Beitzah, why a Beitzah that is born on Yom Tov is forbidden. It's not entirely clear, although we might know some of the reasons why Chazal asked it, and therefore you have to be choshish, there are other reasons. So accordingly, on the Shulchan Aruch there, regarding Shatnas, the Shach says that as long as it is common practice to engage in this activity in a permitted way, then it is indeed permitted. So as long as you have silk is commonplace, then it's no problem to have silk together with wool. The problem is, however, that if you read the Rosh carefully, and the Shulchan Aruch, and the Tor, they don't just say that because silk is commonplace amongst us, they say, Va'akol makirim boy. It seems you need to have two factors. One, that they have silk with them. Akol makirim boy seems to indicate that when you see the garment, since we're familiar with it, we can say, ah, that's silk. You can see that that's what's going on. There's a clear discernment that there's no issa. It's not enough that it's just common. You have to see that there's no issa going on at all. And the Bach and Rebbe Kiva Eger seem to paskin in this way, deloy ka shach. However, the Aruch HaShulchan rejects this approach. And he defends the Shach with the following logic. Once something is commonplace to happen, then why would we be choshish for marasayin? As long as it's common, the Svar would tell you, why would you a person assume that it's being done be'issa when it could be being done be'heta? Moreover, if we're talking about a case where you can discern, the person looking at it can discern that it is silk, then even when it wasn't matsui, why would it make a difference? You can see that it's silk. Rather, he explains that what does it mean, hakol makirim boy? It doesn't mean that everyone can see that this is silk. Rather, it means everyone is familiar with silk. Beklolus, generally they're familiar with silk, not in this specific garment. And therefore, accordingly, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Shach Paskin, that when it comes to marasayin, as long as something is common, even if you can't discern it in this specific instance, then it would be permitted. Now, how common is common? How common does something need to be? When we speak about other areas of kashrus and miyata motsui, the Mishkan Es Yaakov says, so for something to be motsui, it's even 10%. Here, when it comes to marasayin, the pasim seem to be more stringent. The Kilkelas HaShabbos, which is the Tiferet Yisrael and his Hakdama to Mishnayos and Shabbos, says that it has to be a majority of cases, even a slight majority, 51% of the time, people are doing this, but Ofen Hamuta. The Bi'a Alocha in the beginning of Hilcha Shabbos wonders perhaps it's 50-50 would be sufficient, and Rav Moshe indeed takes on that 50-50, half of the time, could be completely Sothek HaShokol, would also be sufficient that there wouldn't be an Issa of Marasayin, and the Cheshev HaEifoid, Rav Padva, also implies this regarding margarine, that when you look at a person buttering their bread and putting meat on top, a person could think, well, it could be margarine, it could be butter. I have absolutely no understanding and no indication either way. Where this svara, what's that? And therefore be permitted. Yeah?
You can.
Now, that's what he says regarding margarine. Now, this svara also comes to play regarding matzah meal. The Mogen Avraham and the Knesset Yisrael brings regarding matzah meal that it is forbidden. Because people see that when you're baking with matzah meal, it looks like you're using grain, flour, and baking with it. And if we bring a Maisa Shahaya, that there was a woman who used matzah meal to batter some meat. Another woman came into her house, saw what she was doing. The next day she went home and she used real flour to batter some of her meat, and she was over on Issa Chometz on Pesach, and therefore it says it's Asa. Now the Pri Chodesh says, interestingly, we're not going to have time to discuss this in detail, the Pri Chodesh says, you can't make up new Isurim of Marisayin. You can't make up new Gezeris. Marisayin is only where Chazal said it. It's a controversial shitta, we don't paskin like that, but it's interesting to note that that shitta exists. However, the other paskin respond that that's only in a case where matzah meal is not common. Today, where matzah meal is sold as a product, it is very common and commonly used over Pesach. Then, here's another example of where something which could be also Mishum Marisayin can change over time. Coming to the restaurants, Shaila, Reb Moshe was writing in a tshuva in 1959, and he says that it's prohibited to eat in a non-kosher restaurant, even if one ensures, to the best of one's ability, the one's eating kosher. Number one, it's likely that a person will be nichshel in macholei sasuris, whether it's through gvinas akum, bishul akum, toiloim, whatever it is. But he says, even apart from that, there's going to be an issa of marisayim. What's this person doing in the restaurant? He says, with tzirich gadol, a person is ra'ev tove, he's extremely, extremely hungry, and a hefzid, he's willing to be mekel with great reservation. Rav Osher Weiss, however, in a tshuva which he wrote in response to a question he was asked in Asifa Sarabonim in South Africa, says that today, we're quite some time on from 1959, and today it is entirely commonplace for people to go to a restaurant, let's say a high-end restaurant, to have a business meeting there. If that is indeed the case, and it is common, and someone who's seeing this person doing that will assume, or is likely to assume, could reasonably assume, with a 50-50, that they're there for meeting purposes, therefore he says that it would be permitted. And it depends where. So it's not going to help you for a fast food chain, because you're not going to go there for a business meeting.
If it's in a business district.
If it's in a business district, there's even more a contextual reason to suggest that that's going to be permitted. Now, we have to do triage. Okay, I think what we're going to do now is summarize that is there an Issa Maris Ayin in the Issa Derabonon? The Ramah seems to indicate that there isn't. However, according to the Nachlas Tzvi and the position of the Shach and many others, that even in Issa Derabonon there is an Issa Maris Ayin. However, the prohibition of doing Bechadrei Chadorim does not exist in Issa Derabonon. If you have a Heker in front of you of what the item is, this is mentioned regarding someone who's drinking a collection of blood that comes from fish or permitted chagovim, which is mutter to eat blood from dogim. However, if it's collected, it looks like blood, it's forbidden unless it has scales in it. Therefore, if you've got a simon, for example, you have cholov shkedim, almond milk with almonds, you can cook that together with meat because there's an indication. So with that svara, there are numerous poskim. Rav Belsky wrote regarding cheeseburgers in meaty restaurants that as long as they put on the menu, chiddush, as long as they put on the menu that it's par of cheese, that's enough of a hecker. He says putting almonds around your almond milk is also a shvacha heta. So you see a shvacha hecker. It's only a minor indication of what's going on. So to putting it on the menu would be sufficient. I asked KF what they do. They said indeed that is their position. That's what they do. London-based Inn told me that since it's so commonplace today, again, the Svar of the Rosh, for there to be vegan cheese on the market, then it is permitted. So we haven't quite had time to bring everything back to all the cases. But if we just answer the two that I mentioned in the beginning regarding lab-grown meat, until lab-grown meat becomes commonplace in the marketplace, it is not going to be permitted to eat together with milk because people are going to assume that it's really meat. Unless you put some kind of stamp on it, I can imagine there's good branding, that it is lab-grown meat, then you've got like a hecker, like the almonds in the almond milk. And regarding the case of the vegan cheese, we mentioned that a tshuva of Reb Belsky, and regarding the automatic lights, well, here's an interesting question. Is using a torch an Issa D'Oraisa, an Issa D'Rabbanan? If it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan, let's say it's an LED light to turn it on, not getting into the question of whether turning on a creating a circuit is an Issa Dereis Darabonim, I think it has an Ish and Shlema Zalman, let's say that it's Darabonim, like Rosh Shlema Zalman, then if it's Bechadri Chadorim and the only people, and it's being done in a private way, since it's only an Issa Darabonim, as we said, then the Issa of Chadri Chadorim is not going to be there. The people that, if it's done privately, and the people who see you doing it can assume, from Yid, why is he doing this? He must be doing it because he didn't turn it on Shabbos, he turned it on prior to Shabbos. There's a few of the Gedorim and some common scenarios of Marisayim. Wonderful day. Love it. You can share about science, don't you?